So our reading this morning is from the 15th chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Rome and written to us as well. A fantastic passage. He writes, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul finishes by writing, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord. So this is a passage or a series that I began really months ago called Following Jesus. And each time I'm here, we're looking at one aspect of what does it mean to follow after Christ, to walk in his steps, to try to live into his will, to live into the destiny he has over our lives. And I've wanted to cover this for some time, the idea of what does it mean to walk and follow after God when we walk into the unknown, when we cannot see what's coming next. And so I want to kind of at least address quickly three areas from this passage. So I want to put the three up here, and that is, first of all, what is the unknown? What am I talking about with the unknown? Secondly, the struggle with the unknown, how we struggle with it. And thirdly, the ultimate solution that the Bible talks about that kind of addresses the unknown. So the unknown, our struggle with it, and the ultimate solution. So let me just first list the first part here, and that is the unknown. The scriptures say, and the scriptures give us hope and give us encouragement as we wait patiently. I want to kind of highlight that. As we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Okay. As we wait patiently. As we wait patiently, right? Everyone thinks patience is a wonderful idea until they themselves have to have it, right? We know this. We know the struggles with it. And how do we deal with the unknown? Let me just put it this way. Just the conversations I've had just the last few months of people, the unknown of you have a diagnosis that you don't know what it means yet. Or you're on a fixed income and you just lost your car. Or someone in your family has gone missing and you don't know how to get a hold of them. How do we live in this reality? And I want to share something that was shared with me years ago, but it's only recently kind of come back. I've been watching a documentary. It's one of the greatest documentaries I've ever come across. It's called American Experience. You can look it on Amazon Prime. It was a document that came out about 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I guess. It was on the history of New York City. It's incredible. It's an 8-part series. And how New York, in just 3 centuries, has now gone on to be one of the greatest cities in human history, surpassing or equaling Rome and Athens and London, and they did it in 300 years. And now it is now the financial and commercial emporium of the New World. And this document starts off in the 1600s. And what's amazing about it is Rick Burns, who produced it, had been working on this for about a decade, and he finally finished it in 1999, and he finally released it for the world in October of 2001. Think of the timing of that. So the whole world was watching this documentary. And he ended up doing another 10 years from 2000 to 2010 to sum up about the Trade Center. But what I found remarkable is in the beginning of this documentary, they were showing how basically Manhattan was discovered. And I have an old picture up here, an old map. Let me put it up here. A Dutch map that was created in 1650. And what I find remarkable is what these people that created these maps, when they didn't know what something looked like, they couldn't. They had an idea of what it was, but they weren't sure. They would put basically white and green shades of color on the map. So if you look there, you'll see Manhattan right there, and you'll see all these houses down there in the Manhattan. But if you look, it's what didn't call the Hudson then, but if you look across the Hudson over there, that's New Jersey. New Jersey. Now, they had an idea of what New Jersey was. They thought but they didn't have a high enough vantage point. They didn't have enough typography to be able to know exactly what it looked like. They just had an idea of what it looks like. I often find we have this in our own lives, these white spots, these green and pale spots in our lives. We have an idea of what we think is going to happen, but we just don't know because we don't have a high enough vantage point to be able to see, to know. It's often like this walking with God. And which leads to worry, by the way. Worry is not what has happened. Worry is about what could happen, right? What we think might happen. That's the whole point of why we try to prepare ourselves of what we think could happen. I mean, why do we have car insurance? Because we could get in a wreck. Why do we have life insurance? Because we might die before we think we're going to die. Why do we wear life jackets? Not because we can't swim, it's because we could get knocked out and we could drown if we don't have that on. Why do we have fire alarms? Because there could be a fire. So we come up with these ways to kind of protect ourselves, but what do you do when you find yourself walking in the unknown and there's nothing you can do to control it? Has anybody else found themselves in this the last season, right? I mean, how do we live and move and have our being? How do we walk with Christ when we're walking in the unknown? In other words, we can't see what's in front of us. We can't see what's coming. And I don't know, well, I think, let me just speak for myself here, although I bet this will hit home for a lot of people. Have you found yourself thinking or saying, maybe you thought this out loud or even said this to yourself internally, but I've said this. I think I can handle anything if I just know what it is I need to handle. If I just can see what's coming, right? I just want to have my fist up so I know what's coming. I don't want to be sucker punched, okay? I just got to know, right? And we're held captive by this desire to have knowledge about the unknown. So Paul, in many ways, writes into this setting. Probably many other things. But let me put the passage up here again. He says, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. To teach us. So he's talking about the scriptures. They can inform us. They can tell us. They can teach us. Which leads me to this second part, and that is the struggle with the unknown here. The struggle with the unknown. This is certainly not a new struggle. This desire to know what's happening next. The need to know goes all the way back to the very beginning of time, to the beginning of the garden of Adam and Eve. I mean, think about this. God comes to Adam and Eve and said, look, I've made this incredibly beautiful garden here for you. You're never gonna be in need. You're gonna have all the food you need. There's no disease, there's no death. They wouldn't even know what that even is. I will walk with you every evening, in the cool of the evening. I'll walk with you hand in hand. I'm with you. You have everything you possibly need. And the serpent comes in and tells them, okay, and you're satisfied with this arrangement? He tells you can do it, but you can't eat from that tree because he doesn't want you to know. You need to know more. You need to know. And I think there's a reason why this is the case, that God hasn't revealed to us because he's not ready to reveal it to us. And so there's a lot that God wants us to know, but it's going to have to be in his time. There is a day coming in where he will open our eyes. And yet we find ourselves step by step, day by day, walking into the unknown, wanting to know. And I've done a lot of thinking about this. And someone else made an observation to me just recently. They said, you know, the reason why is knowledge feels like power. I mean, don't you like to know things before somebody else knows them, right? Or to be able to prepare. I want to know so I can prepare to avoid the unnecessary fear and pain and stress of waiting. So King David also addresses this when he writes in the Psalms. Let me put the verse up here where he says, wait on the Lord. Look what he says here. Be of what? Of good courage. He is saying, the Bible is saying, God is saying, it takes courage to wait on God. It really does. And in time, if we have this courage, he will strengthen our hearts. So he finishes by saying, wait on the Lord. The idea of courage and fear are really kind of the same type of feeling. We just have different responses. Fear makes us flee. Courage makes us stay or go in the direction we think of danger, to walk into the unknown. And yet, if we're walking with God, David is saying you can be of good courage for that. In fact, Paul also addresses this, and I think this is one of the great themes of Paul. I think one of the themes of the New Testament. But if you've ever been to any wedding, you will certainly have heard us read from that famous chapter, the 13th chapter of the book of, from the book of his letter to the church in Corinth, the love chapter. But what I bet you don't see is this passage. What we don't remember is this passage. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. But one day we will see God face to face. All that I know now is what? Is partial. All that I know now is incomplete. But in the future, one day I will see things fully, right? In a perfect way, just as God now sees me fully. The King James Version, I think, is even more penetrating, where it says this: we see through a glass darkly. You ever looked through brown glass or green glass? You can see shades of what's behind it, but you can't see with great clarity. This is often how it is when we're walking with the Lord. We're walking with God. There's white spots on the map. We can see shades, but we can see God's behind it. So be of good courage. This is what trust is about. This is why we sing songs about trust. It's why we read scriptures about trust. It's why I give sermons on trust. And yet I often want to say, sometimes I wonder if we're so familiar with it, this, that we forget about it in the actual day-to-day part of our lives. It's not lost on me that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, do you remember the part of the prayer where we pray for our what? Our daily what? Bread. It's not weekly bread. It's not monthly bread or yearly bread. It's daily, which seems to say that it's walking with God just a day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of itself. It's walking with God right now, today. It leads me to this other passage up here I want to put up here, which says, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement. I want to kind of highlight there, that as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Now, I want to naturally ask the question, why would Paul say, I want to give you hope and encouragement? And the reason is, the question behind it is, well, it must be because he's talking to the church in Rome. They must have felt a time where they did not have hope. They did not have encouragement. So he's trying to encourage them here. And I think it just begs the question, when do we feel like we lose hope? When do we feel like we lose, or we don't have encouragement? Well, think about some of these with me. I've certainly experienced this in ministry, and personally, I've had a bit of experience of this recently in my own life. When circumstances seem to lack reason, we question the fairness of God. When a good and faithful family is struck down by one crisis after another, we wonder about the goodness of God. when we pray, or according to God's will, which is in this book, we are praying right out of his scriptures for God to move, and then nothing happens. When we pray for someone to be healed, and the exact opposite happens. When we try to live a life of integrity and character, we try to do what is right in the eyes of God, to obey God, and then suffer miserably for it. Or if you lose something or someone very valuable to you, we question, we wonder. We feel like we're walking into the unknown, do we not? We're walking into this abyss. When life takes us on these twists and turns that make absolutely no sense, it's the unknown. And what I want to tell you, the truth of the matter is, what I have discovered is that many times God's greatest work in our lives happens. I said this with a smile on my face, but it's painful. When we have to wait on God, we don't have another choice. We have to wait. He'll give us answers in time. And he says from his word, if you're willing to wait, if you have the courage to trust in my timing, you're going to be strengthened in the process, and everything will be revealed in time. One day we shall see God fully, as he now sees us fully. Which leads us to this last point, and that is the ultimate solution. I wanted to share for the next couple of minutes how the gospel has repaired me in this part of my life. Or let me rephrase that. Is repairing me, okay? There's not an ED to that yet. He's repairing me. I've shared this a number of times over the years, and sometimes for people, a little light comes on for people. But if you feel like you're in a season of unknown, you're staring at something that seems overwhelming. Here's what I want to share with you. If we have thought some of these questions, okay, in our lives, I don't understand why this is happening. This makes absolutely no sense. There's nothing good that can come out of this. I don't understand what God is doing here. There's absolutely no hope in this situation. Nothing good can come out of this. If you have found yourself thinking these things internally or even expressing them verbally, here's what I want to do. It always comes back to the cross of Christ. Let me put the picture up here. The cross is the greatest reason for hope for us, and encouragement. The cross and the resurrection. But here's what I want you to remember. On Good Friday, at Golgotha, the people that were left, that loved Jesus, all they knew is they were looking up at the cross, and here was this man who was the greatest man they'd ever known. They saw what he could do. They saw he could banish evil and suffering. They saw him heal people. They saw him raise people from the dead. They saw his love for people, his compassion for people, and all they knew was they were watching this man they loved so much being tortured to death in front of them. I think to some degrees, even some of them actually knew who he was. He was the Son of God, and they're watching being tortured to death. And you know what they were thinking? The same things we think. I don't understand why God is allowing this to happen. This makes absolutely no sense. I'm walking in the dark right here, Lord. I don't get it. If God is good, why didn't he do something about it? What good could possibly ever come out of this? There is no hope. And the people left Golgotha that day walking home bitterly disappointed that God could allow something like this to happen. And yet what was actually happening, as we know, is Jesus Christ was pulling off the greatest spiritual, religious, and political coup of all time. When he got up out of that grave, the greatest act of redemption in the history of the world. He rose from the dead. The Bible now calls him the second Adam, the new man, the new leader, the new creation. So what I want you to remember, if you can't make sense of something and it feels like we're losing hope, I want you to always remember the cross. We are somewhere between Friday and Sunday. But you know what that means, don't you? Sunday's coming. This is good news, church. This is great news. So if you find yourself wondering, I don't understand this, doesn't make sense, unless you and I can see through the sands of time about what is meaningful and what is meaningless, we just cannot say with authority that God is not working, God is not moving here. We're just on the front side of redemption. Now, I know there are people in here that are deeply struggling. I know some of your stories. So let me just give some encouragement here. If you find yourself right now in this season, reminder, I think one of the great images of the Bible that David talked about in Psalm 23. Let me put it up here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For why? For who? You, God, the great shepherd, you are with me. You're the shepherd, your staff, your rod, they comfort me. I taught on this passage a couple years ago to some great depth, but most scholars believe that David was talking about a very specific place called the Wadi Kelt, which is this deep ravine, this deep valley that often people would have to travel through it. And certain times during the year, it was because it was shaded by the moon, it was in complete and utter darkness. And the only way you would have the confidence to walk through this thing is if you had been through it hundreds and hundreds of times. You knew every crevice, every ravine, every dangerous place. And the shepherds knew this place. So the sheep knew, even in complete darkness, they knew if they were right there, hitched right next to the shepherd, they were safe. This is what God is saying with us. Just stay right next to me. Such things were written long ago in the scriptures to teach us. And then Paul says this, may God, who gives us patience and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. Two, I think, incredibly insightful things here. One thing he's saying in the process of it, as we are walking through this, as we're walking in the unknown, as we find ourselves having to deal with patience, we'll discover encouragement. And, you know, I can say for me personally, when I find myself facing the unknown, it drives me to my knees. My prayer life has certainly increased because of it. Has yours? I'm closer to God because of it. Where else would I go? And even more importantly than that, or maybe just inside as important as that, is that the more you walk through these valleys of the shadow of death, the more you follow the shepherd, you can grow some, you can actually get some experience that you will see people in our church, you'll see people in our community, they're struggling, they're hurting, they're facing this unknown, and they don't know what to do about it. They're down in the pit, and you can tell them, listen, I've been down in this place before, and I know somebody that can get you out of here. And I'll show you who he is, Jesus. And he'll show you the way out. He's leading us someplace better, someplace great, someplace special. He's taking us somewhere. This is what prayers are made of, if we're willing to wait on the Lord. It's the place where peace can grow. I want to close with just one last illustration. There's a painting I have in my office. If you ever in my office, I got paintings all over the place, right? Let me put it up here. Do we have it up here? It's a picture of a friend of mine, an acquaintance, who painted the concept. He was a concept artist for the Narnia films many years ago, and he was asked to do these portraits, and this is one that was never officially published. It's the Christ-like lion Aslan comforting Lucy when she's scared. And Justin Sweet is his name, the artist. And I asked him, how did you come up with this piece of art? And he said, I was reading through, he's a Christian, by the way, in Hollywood. It's possible, okay? because he believes in bringing his faith to art. And he said he was reading through the book of John, and he was coming across the place where the disciples are scared, and they don't know what to do. They're facing the unknown. And he said, I came across that portion of scripture, and I want to put it up here, where Peter says to Jesus, Lord, to whom, where else are we going to go? There is no other place to go. You have the words to eternal life. Let me tell you why this is so important, especially this painting, why it has such great meaning to me. Several years ago in our community, there was a young man named Michael Mugrich, who I kind of came to know. If some of you may remember this, Michael was a 16-year-old young man who got terminal cancer and was dying. He was a student over at May River. And I began to visit him, and he came to faith. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks before he died. And I took him this painting, and it became enormously meaningful to him. He felt such comfort with it. And it was so remarkable that we baptized him right there in his bed 3 days before he died. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I've never seen that kind of peace come over somebody like that. And he was a source of great comfort from this painting, watching what God was doing in his life. There is no greater and safer place to be, the arms of Jesus. So what I want you to know is if you are willing to wait on the Lord, what I'm saying to you is that the unknown can be a soil in which our prayers and our faith can be rooted deeply into the love of God. Let's pray. Lord, we echo that last portion, that great prayer of Paul in that chapter. I pray that God, the source of all hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in that power and in your name we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand together.